Church say amen. Amen. Church say amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Count it joy to be in the house of worship one more time. It's good to be here, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Tap your neighbor and just say, neighbor, it's good to see you. Amen. Amen. So we come, we welcome those of you who are entering into worship at this time, and we thank the Lord for your presence here today. In case y'all didn't know, it's hot, y'all. It's just, I just thought I'd share that with somebody who missed that. It's hot out there. And I decided I'm not even going to wear a robe. I might make y'all hot looking at me in a robe today. Amen. So I just thought throw on my ecclesiastical garments, and we're going to preach the word. Amen. But it is hot out there. Amen. So we look forward to those of you who can and will join us at our 11 o'clock hour to come back if you are so inclined to do that as we do our third annual worship in the park. Excited about it. It's going to be hot out there. It's going to be even hot at 11 o'clock. So make sure if you do join us, some of you are going to come at the 11 o'clock hour, or at least come to the fellowship in the park, even if you don't come to the 11 o'clock service. How many of you are going to come at 11 o'clock service? Any of you going to do double duty this today? How many of you are coming back for the service at 1 o'clock then, or the fellowship in the park after the service? So, by show of hands, let me see. I don't see a lot of hands up. So, how many of you are coming back at 1 o'clock in the park? How many of y'all just say, Pastor, it's hot? Amen. But we are prepared. Amen. We are prepared. Won't you stand to your feet with me and turn Bibles to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, amen, verses 31 through 34. As you're turning there, we thank the Lord for His grace, His mercy, and His manifold blessings. For had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would any of us be?
Oh, yeah.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Say amen when you locate the text.
Amen.
The Bible reads as follows. If you have your scripture, certainly keep it open and look on in your Bibles. For those of you who may not, there is a Bible in front of your pews. And those of you who still not, we try to put the scripture on the screen as well. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. The Bible reads as follows. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all things. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. Would you pray with me this morning, beloved, on the title of this sermon? Don't worry, be joyful. Amen. Y'all thought I was going to say, don't worry, be happy. I know it's y'all thought, but it's intentional. Don't worry, be joyful. Let us pray to the Lord. Father, may these words not return void, but may they illuminate minds and may they encourage hearts. May they convict somebody's soul. May you, O God, be glorified, and may the name of Jesus be magnified. We ask now that you would have your way. You've already been here through song. You've already been here through prayer. For you said you inhabit the praises of your people. And you also said, God, that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous will avail much. We thank you today for the songs of Zion. We thank you for the effectual fervency of prayer. And now for the proclamation of your word, we ask that you would show up and that you would show out. Somebody came by to hear word from you, O God. And I ask right now that you would not fail them, not disappoint them, that the words that you've given shall not return void. But may somebody's mind indeed know that you are God and above you there is no other. Help somebody's heart to know that trouble doesn't last always. And help somebody's spirit to know that if they trust in you with all of their heart, you shall make a way. This is your servant's prayer. Holy Ghost, let your anointing fall fresh in this place. And we, God, shall be careful to give you glory. We shall be careful to give you praise. And we shall be careful to give you the honor. For you alone are worthy. You're worthy to be praised. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Let's give God a praise offering as you take your seat. Certainly he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. As we get ready for this fellowship in the park, and men and some women are out moving tables and moving chairs and getting the food ready and prepared, we're going to trust and believe that God is going to spare the rain from coming down, because it says there's a 40% chance of rain and scattered showers. But I don't like looking at the glass half empty. I like that there's a 60% chance it's not going to rain, y'all. So that's the way I like to look at it. Not the 40% chance it's going to rain. The 60% chance it's not going to rain. And I'm going to trust in the 60% more than I am in the 40%. Somebody say amen. So we're going to fellowship. We're going to go out. We're going to have service. And if indeed God sends a deluge, I think we can all huddle under the tent and be a little close together until the rain passes on by. So we're definitely going to move forward with the fellowship this afternoon according to God's will. As we're doing that and as we're preparing for this fellowship in the park, it is mine to say that this month has been an opportunity for us to engage out in the community that much more. As I've said to you on prior Sundays, we have declared this month to be Community Engagement Month, Community Outreach Month, and really over the course of the summer, we want to continue that outreach, right? We don't want it just to simply end at the end of July. So the July, we've had wonderful opportunities to engage in the community. Vacation Bible School the last couple of weeks was a blessing. The Jazz Fest, as hot as it was a blessing on Friday. We look forward to today being a blessing. And those were three opportunities to have invited somebody to come and to fellowship and to worship with the people of God. How many of you took that opportunity to invite somebody, just by a show of hands, somebody to come to one of those three things or all of those three things? Now, I certainly would have wanted to see everybody's hand up. And right, the fact that everyone's hand didn't go up, either means you're too hot to lift one hand up, amen. Or simply, right, it was a missed opportunity. So I just simply want to continue to encourage folk that Shiloh as an institution isn't the building, right? I don't expect these bricks and pews to get up and go invite somebody to church. I invite the people. I expect the people to go and invite some folk to church. And not just even here at the local church. We had a great gathering of the National Baptist Deacons Convention on this past week, and Deacon Poole and Deacon Green and so many others worked so hard. We had Sister Cherise, who's here today, one of the national presidents of our young adult auxiliary. She gave her address. I spoke. And so it was an opportunity for us to reach out and to bring folk into the body closer to the Lord, wherever that might be. And I want to impress that upon folk. We've gone through this process of reading the Purpose-Driven Church. We've gone through this process of talking about the community and the congregation and the committed and the core and the five C's as Pastor Warren presents them. We've gone through this time and process of looking at our ministries and how to do outreach. And we've begun to practice some of that and begin to implement some of that. But at the end of the day, it is going to be let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good work and that they may glorify your God who is in heaven. It's going to take the people who comprise the church to get out and let somebody know that there is a God up above our heads. And so as we continue the process of trying to reach out and to invite folk and to engage folk and to share with folk, right, the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, it is my prayer that you and I will continue to take seriously the individual charge about what does it mean for me to be a more purpose-driven individual, so that when I come to church, I can join in with more purpose-driven individuals, and we as the body of Christ can become more purpose-driven as a congregation. And so today, I want to end, really kind of officially end. I talked about the last couple of weeks fishing, right? Have we gone fishing lately and casting our nets and fishing for the Lord? And so today, I want to really end this exploration of this purpose-driven church, the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, with this sermon, the notion that there's some things we need not worry about. And a lot of us, we get caught up in worry. As pastor of this congregation, I've long since stopped worrying about, i.e. numbers, right? And so, right, numbers can be deceiving, both good and bad. Because I tell folk all the time, if I had a church full of individuals overflowing, folk waiting out in the Narthex lines up and around the corner, then I got to be careful to think, hey, that's not Reverend Armstrong making that happen, right? That's the Lord bringing and sending people. And even if there are just two of y'all in the pews, amen, somebody, that I also got to realize that's not Reverend Armstrong, right? That's the Lord perhaps pruning, doing whatever the Lord is going to do. And so whether there's a house full or a house empty, I just got to preach the word and realize that the worrisomeness of trying to figure out what's going on at the end of the day. Now, I've got to do my due diligence and get my team of folk together and think about if I go a whole year and it's just me and Betty and Aaron and Wayne up in the AV room, then maybe I got to figure out something's going on, right? Organ's still going, Aaron is still playing the organ, Betty is still singing solo, and Brother Wayne can still get the sermon out on the internet. So we can still have church, amen, somebody. But if indeed there was but five of us and we say we got 2,200 folk on the rolls, then we got to think about what might be going on. Yet until that day happens, I have just affirmed in my own spirit that we got to continue to press on in the Lord and allow God to have God's way. And there's some things you can be concerned about, and there's some other things you need not concern yourself with. Amen, somebody. And so today's sermon is really, the best laid plans of mice and men, what? Go awry, often go astray. And so the planning and the execution and all of the investment of time and energy, right? We can do everything right. And still, the Lord might be saying, it's not time for you to go to this next level. I just need you to continue to focus on investing in the few that I have sent you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so it is a moment in which you and I, as individuals and as a body of Christ, need to kind of draw that line in the sand between not worrying and being about God's business as faithfully and joyfully as we possibly can. And so today I want to use Jesus's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount to talk about the difference between worrying and trusting, right? There's a difference between worrying and trusting. I want to talk about the difference between anxiety. I want to talk about the difference between doubt. I want to talk about the difference between faithfulness and trustworthiness, and understand that if we put God first in all that we do, God will get the glory and you will be blessed. Come on, somebody. And so today I want to draw your attention to this sixth chapter of the book of Matthew as a way of talking about these differences between worrying, anxiety, doubt, and as well as faithfulness, trusting in the Lord and believing in the Lord with all of thy heart. I want to use these three words to kind of anchor today's sermon, and the words on the screen as you see them are these. I want to talk about tangible, that which is tangible, not worrying about that which is tangible. I want to talk about not worrying about that which is intangible. And then I want to also then conclude with not worrying about that which is spiritual. And so in this text, I think there's a statement about tangibility that we can draw out. And there's a statement about intangibility that we can draw out. And then lastly, I want to conclude with what I believe Jesus is making in the ultimate statement about spiritual faithfulness unto our God. And so let's look first with this statement about tangibility. That which is tangible is that which can be seen, touched, or felt. That which is tangible is that which can be seen, touched, or felt. It is usually something that appeals to our physical senses. And so if I can see it, if I can feel it, if I can taste it, if I can smell it, if I can touch it, if I can hear it, usually it is something that is tangible. And so that which is tangible, Jesus makes a very powerful statement. Remember, this is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry in the Gospel of St. Matthew, who calls his disciples together after he has called his apostles, his 12 apostles, and he sits these folk down on the plains of right overlooking the Sea of Galilee, on the shore of Galilee, and he begins to break open the bread of life. He begins to teach them. And I think even in our mindset, it is almost the image of the modern day church in which Jesus sits and teaches the disciples. Imagine the background. Use your sanctified imagination that here's Jesus with the Sea of Galilee right in the distance, and he begins to speak to a hungry group of individuals who all of whom are Jews, who are wondering about what is this new teacher, this new rabbi, this new rabbi, who is this man, and what is he teaching, and what is he giving, and what is he sharing. And Jesus, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, starts with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the meek, and blessed are they that mourn, blessed are right those groups of individuals, or that mindset of the individual that Jesus and God said shall be blessed. He then goes from the Beatitude to similitudes. Ye are the light of the world. They who have light shall not hide their light under a bushel. He says, then you are the salt of the world. If you've lost your savor, then you've good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. And so you ought not hide your light, nor ought you withhold your flavor. Come on, somebody. That Jesus challenges those who are supposed to be believers in the Most High God and says, if you're going to follow me, there's a certain mindset that you have to have. And if you're going to be my disciple, there's a certain way that you've got to act. And if you're going to be my believer, there's a certain demeanor that you've got to give off. Come on, somebody. Because if you are a child of the Most High God, you ought not walk with your head down and your shoulders drooping. If you are a child of God, you ought to have a smile on your face, more than a frown on your face. And if you are a child of God, there ought to be a demeanor in which you say, it's a good day. Despite whether it's raining outside, it is still a good day. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Even if you won't rejoice with me, I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. I heard somebody say, if you don't want to praise him, just don't stop me from praising him. If you don't want to praise him, get out of my way as I praise him.
And so if you are a child of God, there is a demeanor. There's a certain kind of aura that you've got to put off. And it ought not be one that makes folk more tentative about coming into your presence. You ought to be an attractive, sweet spirit. I remember growing up at Holy Light and growing up in the church in which I was ordained at Greater Friendship Baptist Church in East Menlo Park, California. We would often conclude service, right? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on each face. And I know it is the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, well, I lift my heart in praise. Without a doubt, I know that I've been revived when I shall have left this place. Right? If we all had that attitude, right? I need some sweet spirits, y'all. I need folk who got some smile. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody ought to know that God is able. And you ought to reflect that wherever you go, in whatever situation you find yourself, in whatever circumstances you find yourself, right? Folk ought to see the God in you. And Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says this to them. He says that, right? Don't be like the hypocrites that only smile when folk are looking at them. Don't be like the hypocrites when they do charity. They make sure folk looking at them while they do their charity. Don't be like that. Jesus gives these very simple yet profound lessons and statements about our faithfulness to him, to God. And at the end of this sermon, literally it was a series of sermons that we call the Sermon on the Mount, but really a series of statements. After these, at the end, towards the end of this, Jesus comes to this sixth chapter. And he says something very profound. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. And so with that statement, I want to deal with these three words. There's some tangible things we ought not be worrying about. And it's right there in the scripture. Because if you look at verse number 31, right, the first word, tangible. And in looking at this first word and looking at the next slide, this first word and looking at the scripture of verse 31 that goes with it, the word tangible, the scripture after it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? But you see, I believe, beloved of God, that there is this statement that Jesus is very clear on, is that I'm going to meet your needs according to my riches in glory. I need you to know, I need you to really believe that you ought not worry about these tangible things, right? That which I shall eat, that which I shall put on, and that which I shall wear, right? For those tangible things, I need someone to understand that God's got your back. Come on, somebody. Now, in this world of recession and in this world of housing and mortgage lending and foreclosure and in this world that perhaps some of us got into some loans that we could not have afforded, and in this world that there's some things that we are dealing with pruning our economics and our finances, and we often define the material things as that which money can buy. And I need someone to understand that in this world where you are going through your own personal recession, going through your own personal mortgage and housing issues, that in this world that God still says, I will be a roof over your head, and I will be clothes on your backs, and I will be food on your table. You might have to do things a little bit differently, yes. You might have to let go of some things, yes. You might have to do things a little in a different kind of way, yes. But I still need you to know that I am God, and above me there there is no other, and I will take care of you. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6. In point of fact, he invokes the spirit of the sparrow. And he says, consider the sparrow. For some say it is the least of the birds. And if I take care of that sparrow, how much more shall I take care of you? Hence, inspiring the words of the great psalmist, right, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over me. That's the reason why I sing, right? Because his eye is on the sparrow, and by definition, if he's going to take care of the sparrow, he's also going to take care of me. He says, consider the foxes. They don't have place to lay their heads. Consider the lily of the field. If I take care of the birds, if I take care of the foxes, and if I take care of the flowers, how much more are you in my divine economy? How much more are you in my divine creation that I will also take care of you? And some of us need to be reminded of that right now. Right? Because you're going through some financial things. I know you are. And you're going through some material things. You're going through some tangible things. There's some tangible worries that you have. There's some tangible material things that you are dealing with, either the presence of or the absence of. Because it's not always the absence of something that you need to be concerned about. You also need to be concerned about the presence of some other things. And here I always like to say this very clearly. There's some stuff we got to start pruning off, y'all, if we're going to let God take us to the next level. And there's some people we need to start pruning off, y'all, if we're going to let God take us to the next level. And there's some places you've been going, y'all, that you've got to stop going to if you're going to let God take you to the next level. There's some food, y'all, amen, somebody, y'all need to cut off if you're going to let God take you to the next. I told you I was talking about tangible things. Tangible things. Jesus is very clear, right? He says, I'm going to take care of that which you need. And as we think about how that applies to our lives, I said it earlier, even as a church body, right? I've often had a conversation with our leaders. What if God took our $1.5 million and reduced it to whatever? Right? Would we stop serving God? Or are we serving him regardless of how much money comes in? Now, to be sure, if that 1.5 million went down to, let's say, half a million, there's going to be some things you and I have to do differently at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Right? Well, there's some things we have to do. I might have to not run the air conditioner during the summer. I've known some pastors to do that now. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. I said there's some core things we need not let go of, right? And heat during the winter and air conditioning during the summer is one of those things we need not let go of. But there's some things we would have to do differently, right? So budget is not driven by, or vision is not driven by budget. Budget is driven by vision, right? Cast your vision, God says, and let God work it out and work in it, and let God be glorified by it as we continue to do what God has called us to do. And I believe if we are faithful over a few things, he'll make us rule over many things. And so I've just made up in my mind, I'm not going to be worried about this issue of physicality, materiality, and tangibility. Melanie and I talk about this in our own household, right? Our finances. God has blessed us and we thank God for it. But if the material things stop coming, does that mean that God's not blessing? No. God is still in the blessing business, even if I don't get another material thing, because I am not praising him and worshiping him and serving him and glorifying him for the return of something tangible. I am worshiping him and praising him and magnifying him because he's already blessed me enough. And you and I say it, but do we really mean it? If he doesn't bless me another time, he's already blessed me enough. If he doesn't give me another thing, he's already given me enough. If he doesn't open another door, he's already opened enough. If he doesn't build another branch, he's already built enough. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise in spite of materiality. Brings me into the second point, right? Intangibility or intangible. That which is intangible. I want to use the same verse 31 to talk about the intangible. Because as you put the screen up, verse 31 says, right? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, I did not start off by the definition or the statement of the difference between worrying and not worrying. And I want to put this screen up. I believe it's in towards the beginning. Put this screen up, the difference between worrying and anxiety and trust and faithfulness, right? That there's a difference between being anxious and being worried over some things versus being concerned or being drawn to the immediacy of a situation or the urgency of a situation, right? And so I've condensed these statements that to be anxious and to be worried is really equal to doubt. Listen to me now. And to be concerned about the immediate or the urgent, believing that I can do my best and let God do the rest, is really a statement about trust. And so at the end of the day, I want us to be challenged by the fact, am I doubting God or am I believing in God? Am I trusting God or am I believing that God is going to fail me? And so when it says about the intangible and the tangible, I believe that part of what Jesus is saying, that not only will I take care of the physicality, but I will also take care of that which is intangible. And I need your mind free to praise me, and I don't need your mind cluttered with doubt and worry and anxiety. Come on, somebody. And so it's a statement about what's in my mind or what's in my heart. For out of the issues of my heart, out of my heart flows the issues of life. If I really believe that God is God, then I'm going to act a certain kind of way. I'm going to talk a certain kind of way. And I'm going to believe a certain kind of way. I am not going to be anxious. Two verses I'm going to leave with you on this intangible statement. Two verses. They're not in the PowerPoint, if you would. Verse number one is that the first one is Proverbs 3:5-6, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all, not some, but all, not a little bit, but all, not just one day, but all, not just one week, but all of your ways, acknowledge God, and God will, not that he may, he will direct your path. That is a statement that is different than doubt and worry. Proverbs 3. Now, the second one is Philippians 4, right? 5, 6, and 7. Right? Be anxious for nothing, but by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. Anybody got a thankfulness in their spirit today? Anybody thankful to the Lord today for just giving me another day, for just waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind? Anybody thankful today that you had a little bit of something to put in your stomach? Anybody thankful today that you didn't have to worry about a roof over your head last night? Is anybody thankful? thankful today that you got a little bit of something to put on your body? Anybody thankful today? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, shall guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. There is a difference between anxiety and worry and trust and faithfulness. I need someone today to hear Jesus as he preaches on the Sermon on the Mount. Right? He could just as easily substitute that word, don't worry, with the word or the phrase, don't be anxious about it. Come on, somebody. He can easily substitute that word, don't worry, with the phrase, don't be doubtful about the outcome of your situation. Listen, as you go through your trials and your tribulation, as you go through your circumstances and your trauma, as you go through your tragedy and your travail, as you go through all of your stuff that you might be going through, I need somebody to understand that God has not brought you this far to leave you now. In point of fact, he just wants to know, have you learned anything from your last blessing? Because if I did it yesterday, why are you worrying about it today? If I delivered you yesterday, why are you doubtful about it today? If I made a way for you yesterday, why are you anxiety? Why are you anxious? Come on, somebody. I need somebody to do like the songwriter as I look back over my life and think things over. I can truly say that I've been changed. I've been delivered. I've been rescued. I've got a testimony. Anybody got a testimony today of how he brought you out to bring you in? Does anybody have a testimony today? How he picked you up, turned you around, put your feet on solid ground. I said a testimony. Hey, you cannot have a testimony if you have not gone through a test. Hey. The intangible, right? I often relate the intangible to that of the psyche, that of the mind. What is your mindset about your issues that you are facing? Not about what I'm going to eat now. No, not about what I'm going to put on now. No, not about what I'm going to, not about the root. No, I need you to now talk about what's going on in the internal machinations of your mind, in the internal machinations of your spirit. For as you think in your heart, so are you. I need somebody to say to yourself, self, I'm an overcomer. Self, I've been through this before. Self, the Lord made a way yesterday. Self, pick yourself up. Look up to the hills. Self, lift up your eyes unto the hills. Self, lift up your hands and give them praise. They can call you crazy if they want to, but every now and again, you got to talk to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. The intangible. The psychological. That's right, Sister Betty. I know I'm crazy for the Lord. Call me a fool. I'm a fool for Jesus. Right, I'm just gonna believe that the improbable is probable, that the impossible is possible. I'm just gonna believe that there's a way that can be made out of no way. I'm just gonna believe it. Brings me then to my last point. is, I want to separate that which is psychological from that then which is spiritual. Because there are things of the mind, right? And I'm not one of these big positive thinking kind of persons, even though I believe that you got to think positively. Don't get me wrong, right? There's a famous sociologist by the name of Dr. Martz, right, who had invented the phrase psycho-cybernetics. And psycho-cybernetics is simply another way of saying what the little engine that was red, the little engine that could, right, simply saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. You got to believe in yourself if nobody else believes in you. Listen now. But just because your psyche is saying something does not mean that God, right, is not dominant over your mind. A lot of folk get this thing mixed up, right? Just because I can name it, I can claim it. I'm going to lay hands on it, so it's going to be mine, whether God said it's going to be mine or not. You better rebuke that thing. Because if God wants you to have some rain going on today, you're going to have some rain. I don't care how positively thinking you are, how much positive thought you might be going through, or you might have, right? And you need to understand that it's not about my mindset. It's about God's will. It's about God's will. And so Jesus then goes on to say in verses 32 and 33, and 34, the main one, which is 33. I want you to put these screens up, right? 32 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. All the tangible and the intangible, the psychological and the material, all these things shall be added unto you, if you do but one thing, if you put God first. And Jesus is saying the same thing that Jesus and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit said to the proverbial writer in Proverbs chapter 3, right? Seek ye first, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God. What does it mean for me to acknowledge God according to the proverbial writer? Well, to acknowledge God means that I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to believe that God says he can do what he says he can do. I'm going to believe that God can make a way out of no. I want to acknowledge that God is God all by God's self. I want to acknowledge that and embrace that. And so then Jesus fast forwards in the Gospel of St. Matthew and says it a very similar way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Verse 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, this is a powerful statement, because number one, it says to me, today, the rest of today is not guaranteed, and tomorrow is not promised. So number one, I've got to understand that I got enough to worry about just today. Let alone trying to make plans for next week and next month and next year. Because James, the epistle of James says that, right, you need to preface your statements by saying, if the Lord wills for me to even be here tomorrow, if the Lord wills for even me to see tomorrow, if the Lord wills for me to even survive until next year, it's not guaranteed that I'm going to be here next year. I look out and I see Sister Emma Jean, and I see the McCoy family, and I am pained by the news of having my sister McCoy pass on to the Lord. And yet I understand that even when you're going through death, it is a reminder that God said, let me take care of today while I've got today. I gotta tell folk that I love them while they can hear it. I gotta send them flowers while they can smell it. I gotta got to send them cards where they can read it. Tell somebody today that you love them. Sufficient unto day is its own issues, its own troubles, its own worries, its own circumstances. You've got enough to worry about today. Just like I tell folks, you got enough worrying about your own front door. Stop trying to sweep around somebody else's front door. Sufficient unto day is its own worries and troubles. And so we need to then focus on living today, seeking God while we still have opportunity to seek Him. So the spiritual then comes in by understanding, number one, I will have some trouble come into my life. Let's get rid of this prosperity thing right now. It's a lie. Right? For Jesus says, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. But, anybody got that but theology? Come on, somebody. But, right? But, I have overcome. I have overcome. You shall have trials and tribulations, but in this way you shall have trials and tribulations. But, right, remember, I have overcome. I've already overcome the world. And so therefore, if I've already overcome, right, that means you can already overcome as well. And part of the fact, you've already been given victory over your trials and your tribulations. If you just acknowledge that I am God all by myself and that I have made a way before and yet I will do it again. If you just trust in me, and if I don't do it again, you still gotta trust in me. Because if you want to get up here into the pearly gates of heaven, you've got to praise me in season and praise me out of season. So that's the first spiritual reality, is that, right, no one said you're going to have it easy. Now, I do not believe that life is one big cloud, one big storm. I'm either in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. That sure is a pessimistic way of living life. I believe that God gives us sunshine. And He gives us opportunity. And He gives us blessings. And so I don't want folk to just see their lives as one big collage of storm, because that's not what it is. Right? You better praise Him, right? And yet, if you find yourself in a storm, I need you to know how to praise your way through a storm, as God has said that if you praise Him, if you praise me, I will step into your praise. I will show up in your storm. So it's not about your location. It's about your elevation. It's not about where you praise Him. It's about just praising Him. I want you to praise Him in the morning. I want you to praise Him in the noonday. I want you to praise Him when the sun comes up. I want you to praise Him when the sun goes down. I want you to praise Him when you got a lot. I want you to praise Him when you don't have anything. I want you to praise Him when you're healthy in your body. I want you to praise Him when you got cancer in your body. I want everything that had breath, praise ye the Lord. Praise Him. So you're going to have trouble, but if you know how to praise Him in your trouble, then God will show up in your trouble. As I take my seat, this is my bigger point. It is not about you being happy. Because happiness is dependent upon our external circumstances. No, this is about you being joyful. And I said, and I'll keep saying until God takes the breath out of my body, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Y'all remember that old song, don't you? Yeah, joy and happiness, or is it? Yeah, y'all, I don't need to take y'all there. Or is it love and happiness? Al Green, right? God bless Brother Al, Reverend Al. Al had another theology going on when he sang that song, Love and Happiness. I want to talk about joy and happiness. Because happiness is when your external world is going all right. You see, you can be happy when you got money in the bank, kids acting right, job secure, pension plan not threatened. God bless Governor Christie. Come on, somebody. See, that's happiness. But when your pension is threatened, your job has been downsized, your bank account has been reduced, now are you happy? But see, happiness is not joy. Because even when your pension has been reduced and your bank account has been downsized and your job has been eliminated, you can still have joy. Because I heard a songwriter say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world cannot, will not, shall not take it away. I've got joy. Unspeakable joy. Even when I've got cancer, I've got joy. Because God says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Some of y'all wonder how you're making it. But I need you to know if you got joy, you can hike up the rough side of the mountain. If you got joy, you can walk through the valley. If you got joy, you can stand in the midst of your enemies. If you got joy, anybody joyful today? Anybody joyful today? Thank God for Jesus. I've got joy. Joy. Different than my happiness. It's not about me being happy. It's about me being joyful. Because if he doesn't bless me again, I've got joy for what he's already done in my past. Joy. Someone here today, I pray that you can then bifurcate, separate out your doubt from your trust, your anxiety and your worry. Kick it to the curb. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Does not mean you don't have to be concerned about some things. But the best you can do is your best. Come on, somebody. God is going to do the rest. And until God does the rest, I've just made up in my mind. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to exalt him. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Oh, taste. Anybody been eating lately? Oh, taste. And see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman that trusteth. Not worry. Not doubt. Not be anxious. But blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust in the Lord today? Do you really believe you can? But more important, do you believe he can? And I don't know about you. I'm like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to kick worry to the curb, doubt to the curb, anxiety to the curb. And I'm just going to face my face to the heavens like a flint. And I'm going to keep on marching, keep on preaching, keep on teaching until the Lord calls the breath out of my body. Because I know too much about him to doubt him. I know what he's done for me. know where I started from, and I know where I am. I know what I've been through, and I know where I am. I know what I've come through, and I know where I am. I know too much about them to doubt them today. In the name of Jesus, let the church of God say amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place. Deacons, clergy, deaconess, go out into the congregation and let's extend this invitation. Come on, quiet, let's sing to the Lord. Go ahead and start singing.